Hello and welcome to Am I the Bullcast? It's the podcast that's starting before it starts. That's right. I'm doing a little intro before this episode because we're not doing any bookends on these because I'm out of town. So no Morgan on these episodes, just Mikey and our guests. And it'll just be for now because I'm not going to be traveling with any recording equipment. And I wanted to make sure we still had episodes for you guys while I'm away. So with all that in mind, it's time for me to mention a couple things that I didn't get to mention in the episode, which is that my name is Mike Carrozza, M-I-K-E-C-A-R-R-O-Z-Z-A. You can find me on Twitter, Blue Sky, Instagram, all the platforms. I've got a comedy album out. I've got a comedy podcast called Stay or Leave about Married at First Sight Australia. I've got a column over at edhrec.com called Am I the Bolus, on which this podcast is based. And please, please, please send in your stories to amithebolus@gmail.com. We'll be doing a ton more mailbag episodes, and that's what fuels the column as well. So I appreciate everybody writing in, everybody checking in, everybody listening. Thank you so, so much. Also, Morgan is at Indigo Gentleman on Instagram and Blue Sky. Please make sure to follow her there and follow her at Am I the Bullcast on Blue Sky. We should also mention that we have a sponsor. As always, Cardsphere.com is our sponsor. Make sure to click on that referral link in the description and get to trading. I mean, with all the sets that are coming out rapid fire, a lot of people are just opening stuff and putting stuff away, and eventually they're going to log it into their Cardsphere because it's a lot easier than taking all that stuff down to the LGS. And trust me, when a new set comes out, you're going to want to be on Cardsphere because you're going to be snatching up some stuff at prices that are a steal, real. Honestly, Cardsphere keeps things up to date, but some people, you know, want to get rid of this cardboard so much quicker, and they'll sell it to you at what an LGS, a little higher than what an LGS will sell, buy it from them. And so everybody kind of benefits. It's a trading platform, so sometimes you'll just make a trade for trade. And that's what rules. You can put your money, your cards in your wallet. Your cards are your wallet. So Cardsphere.com. Cardsphere, get your cards here. Use the referral link in the description. And now it's time to get into an episode with GirlPod. You're listening to Am I the Bullcast, the only podcast about Magic the Gathering you're listening to right at this moment. It's your boy, Mikey C. Mike Carrozza, you know me from EDHREC, my column, Am I the Bolus? You're probably listening to this because of that. And I'll tell you what, good for you, because we've got a very fun episode. Joining me today, how do I even begin to introduce that? I'm going to have you guys introduce yourselves. I just want to say, before you start talking, I want to say, in Chicago, February 2025, Magic Con full swing. I sit down at Lua's CDH event, and I get to jump in a pod with three people I've never met before, two of which on this podcast today. And I proceeded to have the worst game of Magic mechanically, but the best game of Magic socially. I could not stop laughing the entire time playing with these two. And it was an immediate, like, when's this happening? When are we going to get you guys to call in? So obviously, I'm talking about Sarah and Sandwich from Girl Pod. Hey, guys.
Hi. Oh, that's such a fun game.
So there are two of you. And yes. I'd like for you, for both of you to introduce yourself so our listeners know who's talking when they're talking. So who wants to go first?
Sure, I'll go first. Hi, I am Sarah. I'm one half of GirlPod MTG. You can find us on all platforms at GirlPod MTG. We make the daily contents over on Instagram and Blue Sky, and weekly content on YouTube if you like gameplay.
And now Sandwich.
What's up, y'all? I'm Sandwich. I'm the other half of GirlPod MTG, and we are on the internet and all of those places. We will be at MagicCon Atlanta, and we're trying for PAX Unplugged in November, and we're going to be in Amsterdam next year. So, ooh. And then Atlanta again. Ooh, ooh. So that's where you can hang out with us if you want to.
Yes. Yes. One of the biggest bummers of not being able to make it to Atlanta is knowing that I'd be missing out on coming down to y'all's home turf. Just being like, okay, there's a different energy when you're having like a hometown game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You guys were so fun in Chicago. Can we get into let's get into this. Okay, let's talk about so I mentioned we were in the CDH event, and I don't play CDH. It's not my thing, it's not my format. Y'all know it. You guys both have played CDH. You were ready with the decks. You're like, I know this deck and the lines of this deck. And I'm like, cool. I'm picking Plagon because I like the starfish. I like the little guy. I like that he wears a jellyfish for a hat. Let me get him. I really want to play it. And I kept a hand that truly I should have reread Mox Diamond. And
yeah, it'll get you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. To the best of us.
Oh, yeah. I was stuck on one land for most of the game. I had a force of negation, no, force of will. And I was like, well, at one point I'll play this. And that was it. I was like, CDH is the no mana format, baby. Who needs it? You know, this should be
no
fine.
Mana, no problems, yeah. You know. Yep. Three spells for days.
Yeah, exactly. Do you guys remember what you were playing?
I was probably ripping Derevi, if I remember correctly.
I was on Kinnan.
You were on Kinnan? Okay, yeah. I remember you on someone. Did you?
You were probably on Tinnathrass.
Because that Tinnathrass was Talion.
Oh. Was it Talion?
It might have been Talion. Talion the Kalian Lord. It was either Talion the Kalian Lord or Tinnathrass. No.
I remember you having Captain Sisse. I don't know if that's right. You were like, I need to resolve this. And I was like, well, who am I to say no? And then I was like, it's competitive. What am I doing?
No. I was like,
who am I to say no? Sure? It's beautiful.
Are you sure? You were like, yeah. I'm not going to stop you. And I was like, thanks.
Yeah. CDH stands for cooperative magic.
Exactly.
Work together.
And CDH stands for everybody here is cool and playing EDH, baby. That's all.
It's casual magic. That's what
it's
the C
casual. CDH, the C is for casual. I think we looped it all up.
Yep. That's real now. It's on the internet. It's real.
Exactly. And now you can't take it back. That's forever. Mm-hmm. The internet is forever and not decaying in front of our eyes. You know what I mean? No. It's like,
that's
it's
so
the exact
bleak.
Same as it's always been.
Exactly.
And super reliable. I want to say shout out to the person who also played with us, but I am very sorry. I don't remember your name.
It was Sam.
Sam.
Wow.
Shout out to
it
Sam.
Was Sam.
Because we saw him in Vegas and we got to rip some games and he was wonderful. And yeah.
Sam played a Gruul deck, if I'm not mistaken, and I don't remember which, but Sam was good vibes at the table, but similar to me, was not making any moves. It was like, we were both two ding-dongs who did not draw good hands. Oh, go ahead.
Cyclical. Oh. Whenever we saw Sam in Vegas, he played Plagon.
That's true. You must have inspired him.
So got stuck on one land and didn't do anything.
Now, extra question. Did he also misread Mox Diamond? Because I feel like that would do a lot for that.
I don't even think he got to play Mox Diamond Bestie. I turned one Draenith, and he was just kind of shut out of the game. So
I also, everyone else. That's what I did. I played a Draenith. I kept a hand with two lands of Mox Diamond, Draenith Magistrate, Force of Will, and then something else, but I don't remember. Now
I thought Plagon was mono blue.
Huh?
I thought Plagon was mono blue.
Nuh-uh, Zorius, baby. It's got that.
Is it?
That secret hybrid pip in the tech box.
You're right.
Wow.
Yeah. I guess I just don't care because Derevi doesn't care about Draenith.
No, yeah. Derevi don't care about Draenith. Derevi gets in anyway.
Derevi don't
what
care,
a
neither
busted
do I.
Card.
So good. I'm a bird wizard.
I was thinking about Draenith today.
You were thinking about Draenith today? Why is that?
Yeah, because it kills McKinnon, and I've been like, there's got to be a card where I can like sacrifice Kenna and then grab him from the. But I'm like, not in Simic. So I was thinking about Draenith just today, though.
Draenith is such a. It doesn't feel good to see. Like, there's a lot of cool stuff you can play from Exile. There's a lot of places to cast cards from. Boo. You know what I mean? Come on now.
Personally, I love Draenith.
Can I bounce it from the command zone to my hand?
Yeah, get a command beacon and that's it. You
she
know,
said, I don't play like an asshole. I love a turn one Draenith.
I love Draenith because it's a stacked deck and I don't care.
I get around it because stacked. It slows everyone down but me. Mm-hmm.
So is it fair to say that, Sarah, you're like, you're in on stacks? That's your way. No. That's your way to go? No, not at all. You
no,
don't like
not
that.
At all. My Jerevi deck is a more turbo-y list. The fastest I've ever won is turn three with it. But typically it's more turbo than Jerevi usually is, but it is a mid-range deck. So it's not full turbo. It can turbo if I get the right opening hand, but it's a mid-range Jerevi. So I think Draenith and Blind Obedience. And then which one is the one? I forgot the name of the card, but it's the one that artifacts and creatures enter opponent's battlefields tapped. Is that Blind Obedience?
Kismet?
Mm-mm. It's a mono white enchantment.
Mono white enchantment. That would be Blind Obedience stuff.
Okay. Yeah. I thought so. Yeah. So I run like Blind Obedience. I run Draenith. I run Cutsoul or like things that don't allow people to cast spells or activate abilities on my turn. But I don't really play that until I'm going for the win. So if that resolves, just know I'm trying to win either that turn or the next one because you can't interact with me and that's what I want.
Yeah. I completely forget that Cutsoul is that card because it's like it's got that extra text about not having the same power and toughness or something.
And I'm like, I don't give a shit about that.
I'd look it up on Scryfall, but I don't know how to spell the card. So I'm just gonna go with hey, it's somewhere in there, the basics of the card. It's Grand Abolisher without the abilities part, and then something about power and toughness being different, but the other part is more important.
It's Cutsoul, Malamet, Explorer, and then if you deal combat damage with a creature with power greater than its starting power, then you get to draw a card.
Its starting power.
Yeah.
It has such a 1/1
counter on it. Yeah.
Your opponents can't cast spells during your turn.
That's
beautiful.
The part.
Beautiful. That's beautiful what I'm talking about. That's what I like. I don't like being interrupted when I'm playing with my 6-card engine that's doing a bunch of dumb stuff.
Yeah.
I like having a whole thing set up like that. That's more fun for me.
Don't ever talk to me or my bird child again.
Yeah. Yeah. My bird child that cheats its way in every time.
Cheats its way in. Friends. I get to tap and untap because I don't have to tap just my permanents. I can tap your permanents.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention, like, that's a tax evasion deck. That's for sure. Like, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. And so, Sandwich, you're on Kinnan, like, as a, your CDH deck is Kinnan.
My CDH deck is Kinnan right now, but I do have a couple of other brews that I want to do, and I've been exploring playing Kinnan pieces on the stack at instant speed because no one sees that coming. And it's just a silly, goofy little way to, like, do the things I was going to do on my turn, but with, like, Valley Floodcaller or High Fae Trickster, I can just pop those in and people forget about that because they're not expecting it from me. And then I'm like, hello.
Whoopsie.
Got him. Just a flash in one ring.
that was my highlight.
Flashing in a one ring?
Oh, yeah. Crazy. She did it on play to win. Yeah, she had an infinitely large creature coming at her and she flashed in the one ring on play to win. It's fucking awesome. Sorry, kid.
Great comeback! Yes! That's what I'm talking about. Oh, man. That's so fun. That's messed up. That's really messed up. But, man, that's so fun. God, that's good. It's interesting that that's like a thought pattern that you get into with CDH is that you're like, how do I get around, like, how do I subvert the expectation of my one? Like, this is the deck that I'm bringing to the table. The meta is so clear that there are certain expectations from these decks. That you're like, how do I get you? Because you're gonna get got. And now we have two pieces, High Fae Trickster and Valley Floodcaller.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Yeah, I got the I'm pointing. I'm doing a lot of pointing.
I keep nodding, forgetting that this is like I'm like, but I'm not like making any vocalization. I'm just nodding along. I'm like, God, I swear.
There's
I'm
no video to this. We're just talking. We're gabbing.
Big Sir Body yap Yappers, Snappers, and Nappers.
Oh, yeah, the trifecta.
The Illuminati.
Open your third eye, babe.
And then close it again. It's nap time.
What do you see in your third eye? Uh-oh, it's the One Ring at instant fucking speed. All right, Ken. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. What a messed up card. Can you believe they made it? I can't. I can't get over the one.
I love it. It's so good.
I have a copy. I don't put in any decks. I just look at it every time and I go, nah, I can't do that. It's too good. It's too I don't have a way to abuse it either. So it'd be like a fair one ring. Even then, that feels wrong. I don't even know. I end up, I play solidly. I'm like in brackets 2 and 3 personally. That's where I kind of play most of the time. Do you find yourselves playing any of those games? Or are you like CDH build to the max?
I have a lot of fun playing efficient Magic, so I really enjoy bracket 5. But most of my decks are high bracket 3 to high bracket 4. That's pretty much where I land. I struggle to build decks that are just silly little decks. Like,
oh, bro, I get that.
One deck that's my silly little coma deck.
Hold on. Go ahead and say, call it your silly little coma deck one more time. Just go for it, please. Swear to God.
Just my silly little coma deck. It's a bad coma. So, okay. Canonically, all right, I run bad Urza. So it's Urza Chief Artificer. And whenever I first started playing it, my friends were like, that's bad Urza. Like, what do you mean you're playing Urza? This isn't good Urza. That's bad Urza. Because good Urza is like the mono blue one, right?
Right. And the one, like, you're talking about is the Esper one, the pre-con one?
The Esper one. Okay.
With the shoulder pads.
With the and the constructs. I don't think he's bad at all, but they call him bad sick, Urza. Actually. Pretty fucking radical if you ask me, but yeah. I don't know, bad Urza, fine. So like I played bad Urza, and then when we became ambassadors for foundations, I pulled Coma World Eater, which is like,
is that
bad
the
coma.
New coma?
Yeah, oh, it's I the see. One where you have to do so it's like it has, it's an 8/12 with crazy. Ward 4 trample is a 7 cost commander, and whenever you deal combat damage, you create 4/3/3 coils. So, like, the coils can't really do anything for you. But after one turn rotation, like, you have an army. You're good. Like,
yeah,
no one can touch you. Yeah.
It's got trample. It's an 8/12. It can't be countered, right? It's also, like, no stack interaction. You see it coming. Well, it's here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Ward 4, excuse me? What, well, are we playing limited that I have to pay 5 mana to exile that thing?
Yeah.
Come on now.
Add the part where she makes it fly all the fucking time, too. She's like, I got a trampoline.
We got trampoline. It's flying. It's double strike. And it first jag. That's, and it's all the things.
But double strike. Like, double strike on Coma World Eater. No.
Yeah, it's delicious.
First of all, it's not even enough to kill a player because it's only 16 damage on its own.
It's just disrespectful.
Mm-hmm. But
it is.
That's crazy.
I have a card in there that's whenever you deal combat damage, you put that many 1/1 counters on something. So I typically my favorite way to this is my only silly little brew. I brewed it out of my book. It's Coma. It's bad Coma. The deck is called Coma and Her Sharks, and it's just all the viable Simic shark cards. And so there's kind of like a weird evolve sub theme, and then there's 1/1 counter sub themes, and then there's cards in there that's like, girl, like, why did you build this? That's too good for a silly little deck. Like, why do I have a high fate trickster? Why am I flashing in Coma on someone's instep?
That's hilarious to me, because in the end, this does have the makings of a bracket, technically bracket 2 or 3. Like, it is. But it's definitely played with the gusto of a 5. Like, you're like, I'm here to win.
Like, you're fucking stop. Sorry, Ken.
Sorry, Ken. That's the thing. Is like, okay, so hear me out, right? I love. Like, I have these guardrails while I'm building, right? I'll be like, Cyclonic Rift's too crazy. Smothering Tithe isn't, you know, it doesn't belong in every deck, you know, all this stuff. And I try to not, I tend to avoid game changers. Like, I don't mess with tutors. I find, I don't like tutors. They're not for me. You know what I mean? But so I do that in the deck building, but also in the deck building, I'm like, what if There's a 9-card infinite combo that does a lot and requires you to hit a creature from the top of someone's library. So it's not guaranteed. You know what I mean? Like, that to me is where I find the juice that's worth the squeeze. But it's always so fun to see what pieces make that list. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I'll be like, High Fade Trickster is in the deck as like a card that I'm like, well, this is just really good. And I put everything else in the deck to just be like, fine. So I deserve a little treat. But then, I play the game and I'm like, okay, well, now this new set has a card that I think is bad enough that I want it in the deck, but too good to ignore. Maybe I take out High Fade Trickster for this, like, common from this new, jumpstart product. You know what I mean? I just, like, I find myself cutting myself at the legs and then still just doing that kind of stuff where it's like, oopsie, gonna play this one card that doubles my creature's counters and kills you. Whoops, my bad.
Oops, but also, sorry.
Yeah, also 1,000 cuts. It's just aristocrats all the way down. You know what I mean? I love that you have like your little, you're saying like, it's your little, don't worry about it deck. You're like, oh, bad coma. Who cares? But it's also still coma. It's gotta be.
I know. I also I have to have that disclaimer whenever we're having that rule zero conversation. It's always, this is bad coma. Good coma, not in bad coma. Bad coma, still pretty good. So is problem, not target.
Man. Honestly, isolate that and make it a ringtone. That's so funny. The way you just said all that. That was so funny.
Thanks. Oh my God, you think I'm funny?
Oh my God, you're so funny.
How dare you, Heather?
You're so funny. Wow.
Man.
I love
what
this
podcast.
What do
you do with all the coils? You just slam with them, buddy. That's it.
Yeah, you just slam them down. I love getting that worm out. You know, I'm talking about the big worm whenever you do combat. you put that many +1/+1s on a creature, makes a real big coma real fast.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
It's an oopsie poopsie coma, you know?
Yeah. Now you got a 16. Hold on, I gotta do math. Now you got a 16-20 guy coming at you with double strike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that'll put
and that's 32 counters at the end of this turn. Oops, extra combat, sorry.
Oh no.
Oh no. That was possible.
Oh, yeah, I don't even know how that happened.
Yeah, it's a card printed in 2005. That's
yeah.
It was designed by Nickelback.
Look at this combat.
It is the only card I could think of is Genji Glove from Final Fantasy that would give double strike and an extra combat out of the deal. And just picturing an infinite snake wearing a glove. I don't know. That's honestly beautiful.
Look, I have a joke, but I'll hold it.
And that's good enough. I think we got it. It's good. Crazy. Look at this art on Coma World Eater. It's nuts. That guy doesn't end. What are you doing? It's like
whatever he wants.
Coma looks like when you zoom in on somebody so much that you see the DNA strands and all of a sudden one of them has a face.
When CSI is doing the crime, like how they got killed.
Oh my God. You've got old school CSI. It's going to be Grissom showing up and being like, see this? And then they zoom in. He's like, that's how we know it's our guy. Like, okay. Well, we're lucky you're here. Also, tell me about your favorite bug. Man, how deep of a cut is that? That's a OG CSI from 99. All right. I can't help myself. Man, that is. Can you believe this? This is going to be so embarrassing to admit. I would sneak out of bed to go watch CSI because it was past my bedtime. And I was like, yo, crime is crazy.
I'm a cuss a girl.
Just that's how I talked as a kid, too. That's exactly my point.
I, too, snuck out of bed. Crazy. I was only 2 years old. I was like, crime is crazy.
I'm going to tell all the kids about this in Pui 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 K.
Pre-primary school.
That's what it is. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you're still somehow smoking a little cigar.
Crime is crazy.
You like tuck it into your teddy bear before you go back to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Sometimes you need a second. You just need a second. That was good. That's fun. This is exactly what I wanted. This is exactly what I pictured tonight would be.
Oh, I love the deliverable.
Meeting OKRs. You know, we're hitting it. My God.
Corporate magic world.
I need a second. My face feels exhausted. It feels like I need to stretch my jaw because my cheeks have been up by my eyes for the last 20 minutes.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. No, this is not a complaint. It's not a complaint. It's more like a warning that if you see me all of a sudden just kind of like droop my face down, it's not like a oh my God, I'm bored or anything. It's just literally my cheeks are killing me.
Yeah, you said it after a while.
Sarah and I got the strongest cheeks in the magic community.
Yeah, you guys are always giggling. It's the best. Honestly.
I agree.
You two are the best fucking vibe. Sorry, Ken. You guys are the best vibe. It's so fun. Like, it's one of those things where, like, now go it, when it's time for me to come back down to America, which at some point will be eventually.
Yeah.
We're gonna wait on that one for a little bit. But when I do come back down, and I hit up a Magic Con, I'm going to be hitting the con floor like, okay, where's Girl Pod at? We got to find them quick.
You got to
close your eyes and listen. Yeah.
That's
close your eyes and walk. Yeah.
Echo locate, just like. I'm walking into the con like, sandwich! And it bounces off of your laugh. I'm like, there it is, over this way. I think we're over this way. My God. Sandwich, do you have a silly little deck of your own? Is that something that you also have in your arsenal?
So my silly little deck is my Miss Bumbleflower deck is a group hug deck, but it's like no bad things at all. It's all presents for all of my friends It's all just nice stuff. And that would be the closest I have to a silly little guy deck.
Well, that's fun. I think that's really sweet. I mean, it's Bumbleflower is such a Bumbleflower got scary. It's crazy how scary this card got.
Yeah, I rarely play Miss Mumbleflower because she has so many triggers and stuff that I'm just like, I really just want to put these cards out and give you guys cards and turns and draws. Like, I'm not really here. But if I do, the gag is, if I play Miss Bumbleflower and you're playing with me, remind me of those triggers and you get the card draw because I'll forget them. Ooh. Like, yeah.
That's a really fun way to take it off of you and also make your decision much easier.
Like, right?
That's really sweet. Honestly. Yeah. If you're playing a group hug deck, if you're a listener at home, take a seat. Hold on a second. Listener at home, if you're playing a group hug deck and you've got a lot going on, reward the people who help you out. I think that's the better way to do it. Yeah. Instead of having to do the like, well, okay, it looks like they're struggling over there. No. Reward someone's presence. Mm-hmm, they're active in the game, paying attention, living for it. That's fun. That's ultimately that is like the default role I end up in when it comes to playing Magic anyway. So I am tipping my hand where I'm like, okay, and trigger there and like that. And I got to keep an eye on this guy because I know it's about the trigger, second spell coming, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, God, I f-ing love this game so much.
It's so good. There's always something to learn. I'm never gonna stop learning about this game. The art's never gonna stop being incredible.
We're coming up on the 2-year anniversary of playing Magic just like as a whole, so that's
really
exciting. Yeah, because I get to go back and like I've been doing this thing where I go back and look at old cards and see if there's any that I can fit in my decks that like work, and it's led to me like slowly evolving my Obeka deck into a full Shrine Obeka deck, and that has been real fun.
And the new Shrine card that just came out with Avatar too.
There's gonna be a whole cycle. Can't wait. That's a fun little bit. Yes. Well, do you want to talk about Avatar before we get into a pet peeve discussion a little bit?
Sure.
Is there anything that you've seen that you're like, this is piquing my interest? Anybody, any legends or any card in particular that you're like, okay, Avatar, I see you.
I'm chasing that Great Hinge reprint and I'm chasing the Force of Will reprint. I'm chasing those two hard for sure. Yeah, I will be buying as much product as I can get my grubby little broke fingers on.
Hell yeah. Yeah, those are sick. The treat for the Great Henge.
Mm-hmm.
My God. First of all, Great Henge, already just such a staple. If you don't have a copy, it's about time you get one. It's been reprinted a ton lately. Like it's a great
Henge.
It is a great Henge.
It's a good Henge,
Savannah.
It's such a good Henge. It's a great, good old Great Henge. Man, and it's so fun. Like, this looks amazing. So here's my thing about this treatment, right? Can't stand the lettering on it, but I understand why they have to do it this way, because otherwise you lose it in the frame. But like the drop the shadow around each one that kind of bolds it. Not for me, but my God, the art on this Great Henge is so phenomenal. It's so sick. Ah,
It's so beautiful. I can't wait to see the treatments. I'm like, I don't know if we'll get an ambassadorship for it, but I'm praying that we do, because I just want to hold on to all of the product and give it like a big hug and a little smooch and tuck it in the bed every night.
Yeah. Oh, the lands are so good. Oh my God. The basic lands are so good.
They've got Appa flying over everything. Real sweet.
Yeah.
I was never a Avatar guy. I've never I watched a couple episodes like back in the day, but like never really stuck with it or watched some more, but it is fun to see everybody I know just kind of go like, oh well, this might get me to play Magic, you know what I mean? And that's kind of like exactly what you want from Universes Beyond. I just recorded an episode with my buddy Ashley, who for years I'd been trying to get her to play Magic, and finally she sees Final Fantasy and A Taste of Spider-Man, and she bought every pre-con. She's she bought like a box of Edge of Eternities is what, like, she is in. And now she's looking at Avatar being like, I can't believe they're just gonna keep taking all my money. I think, and that's that's the danger, but it is worth it. You look at this and you're like, man, it fits so well into the world of Magic. I think most excited for a card, I think Fire Lord Ozai or the Fire Lord Zuko, the Mardu guy, Firebending X, where X is its power, and Firebending is whenever it attacks, you add X red mana and it lasts until end of combat, which is reminder text at this point. But
yeah, it's interesting that there are cards that are printed, and there's people that are arguing in the Girl Pod comments right now about whether the oh gosh, what's the card name? It's a legendary creature on the front and then a saga on the back, but it can be your commander and it's mono black, but it has firebending. And there's people arguing on if this could be played in a Rakdos deck or if it has to be played in a black deck. And there's people who are saying, oh, well, if you look at the top corner, there's these things called pips, and that's the color of your commander. And I'm like, that in the rules text, firebending creates red mana, right? So it could be played in a Rakdos deck. And these rules texts are going to have to be deep dived in.
I think the one you're referring to is Yeehaw is right, baby. I think the one that you're referring to, I think, is the Rise of Sozin, which is a saga on the front, and it turns into Fire Lord Sozin.
Yes.
Which is, so here's the thing. We got confirmation about this, actually. It's similar to the rules on Extort. So Extort, whenever the reason you can play Blind Obedience in your Derevi deck, which does not have black, is because Extort has black in its reminder text, but not in, like, it's not in the text box
color
or
identity.
The card. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Extort on Blind Obedience, like, if you had the reminder text, it would say, whenever you cast a spell, you can pay white or black, so hybrid Orzhov pip, and then you drain the table. But that's not part of its text box. It's just reminder text. So you can play Blind Obedience in a mono white deck. Similarly, Firebending has reminder text that says whenever this creature attacks, add red. So just a red mana symbol. This mana lasts until end of combat. But that is also reminder text, because you'll have cards out there that just say firebending four or whatever. And that's that. So it's not technically part of its card color identity. So this card, the Rise of Sozin that flips into Fire Lord Sozin, can be played in a mono black deck. It's the other one that can't. So like Fire Lord Ozai is a different example of that. This is the black one that is three in a black, and it says whenever this creature attacks, you may sacrifice another creature. If you do, add an amount of red mana symbol equal to the sacrificed creature's power, you know, and so on. So this is in its text box, so it's not reminder text, and so it can be in Arakdos. It could only be in Arakdos deck. It can't be like mono black. So for anybody who was confused about that, now you know, out there in the listener land. And shout out to everybody who's excited about being able to include that saga in their mono black deck.
Wee. That's so cool. That's what I love about this game is like, that's so cool. Dude, I just learned something right now.
Hell yeah. Mm. That's what's up. It's the thing. Magic is so dense and crazy, but for the most part, it works. Like it works. You know what I mean? You learn the base rules and then you kind of go on like, okay, well, in this case, how about this? And you're like, oh, well, how does this stack up with another thing kind of like it? Oh, I guess it's like that then. Easy.
I think it's really interesting that there is some level of knowledge about language required about magic rulings, because specific text works with specific text and other text does not work with other text. And it's all about the wording and the flavor and the sentence structure and where the semicolon is versus the colon and where the period is versus the comma. And it's so much.
Oh yeah. I mean, you're a Derevi player. You might know of Mangara of Karandor, I think is the card. Like when I found out that was how it worked, I lost my mind. Mangara of Karandor is a 1WW 1/1 legendary human wizard from God Time Spiral. And its ability is tap colon. So that's the activation cost. Exile Mangara and target permanent. Just full gone. But if you have a bunch of instant speed untapping, you tap Mangara, untap it, tap Mangara again, untap it. And so you're just going to be able to exile as many permanents as you have untap effects. Now, of course, Mangara will go away. However, if you have a sacrifice effect or a blink effect available to you, you just get to use that on Mangara. And you don't lose Mangara, it just flickers away or goes to the graveyard. But that's all because of exactly what you said, which is like learning the syntax and the language of magic ends up being like, oh, this is something we can exploit. And that's also why you don't see anything templated like this anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They gotta play it way safer.
Yeah. Magic is full of brats and they'll do whatever they can to do whatever they want. And I love that about us.
It's true. I want to do the thing, the silly thing, you know? Like, we built a Brea deck together for our channel. And deck is one of my favorites. And it's a Blink Brea and a Blink Burn Brea. Yeah, Blink and Burn. That's what I want to do. Yeah. So I like, you know, winning through like Reckless Fireweaver. But that works out because I put out a bunch of token triplers. And then I use what's that card called? It's a blue card that essentially you can tap it. So you pay, I believe, one blue mana, you tap it, return target artifact to your hand, and then you can put an artifact from your hand onto the battlefield.
Oh, Master Transmuter.
Yes, Master Transmuter. That was one of my very first arguments about Magic was about Master Transmuter, because technically you can pay the blue, tap Master Transmuter, return it itself to your hand, or like return Brea to your hand and put Brea right back onto the battlefield.
Yeah.
And if you have an untapper, you just keep untapping, and that's the loop.
100%. Yeah. That's how it works.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Pick it up, put it down.
It's honestly.
Like, well, you have to put a different artifact down. I'm like, no, I don't.
I don't want to hit you with
putting one to my hand, and period, we're done. Now I get to do the second part.
Exactly. It's split up that way for a reason, because they didn't know any better. I will say, not to hit you with like a back in my day, but my God, Master Transmuter used to be like a big price tag card. This was also like a real boogeyman in like some play groups, because so many weird artifact decks would just be like, okay, Master Transmuter, you guys can't do anything about it. I have Lightning Greaves on it. Teehee, bye-bye. Here we go. Spinervish Saw, going to destroy that thing, return it to my hand, and then do it all over again. You're like, brutal. This is a bummer. This is going to hurt every single time. And it's not even all that far back. I'm just talking like 10 years ago. It was like $25 or something.
I love playing that card and seeing other people who's been playing Magic far longer than I have. There's always like a pleasant like, Master Transmuter? I'm like,
yeah! It's a real, like, real recognized real moment.
We're flavored.
Yeah. Like, to your point from before, you're like, I'm looking through a bunch of old sets to see what, like, fits this and that. I'm like, that's the most fun part about Magic, really. You have such a massive catalog of crazy things that have already been designed, and a lot of them are mistakes. A lot of them are, like, you know, hey, lessons learned. And some of them do really cool stuff. Some of them do broken stuff, and some things don't work at all. Like, Lycids shouldn't work at all, but they do somehow. Don't know how, but I trust it. Like, Animate Dead, the card Animate Dead,
like,
the way it's worded now is so complicated for exactly what it does.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, all that to say, we love Magic. And loving Magic comes with, I don't want to say hating Magic, but kind of being a little ticked off at it sometimes. And so I put to you, Girl Pod, whomever wishes to go first, do you have a pet peeve or a story where you might be the bolus?
I have a pet peeve for sure.
Ooh, Sarah kicking us off. Let's get it.
Okay. So realistically.
Okay.
The scene in space for more inclusivity in Magic is so much better even now than when I first started playing Magic.
Mm-hmm.
There is very much a stigma around being a woman playing Magic, or at least there was. I have experienced a lot of negativity from men in like a hot minute, which has been really nice. Thank you, men.
Hey, shout out, man. You guys are doing better.
You guys are doing so good. Keep that up. Keep it up, baby. Love that. So, like,
hold on.
Three, you know, like, we've taken a step on the stairs, but we still have a staircase to go, you know?
Uh-huh.
But when I first started playing Magic, I ran into this issue a lot where I would get the stereotypical, did your boyfriend build this for you deck? But even worse than that, and I've talked about this before, I hate when people try to pilot my deck for me. And I totally understand when I'm presenting a loop or a combo or doing something cool and someone gets excited and they're putting the pieces together, that's very different than them being like, oh, and now you're going to do this and do this. It's different when they're excited versus, oh, you don't have enough to do this. You don't have enough. And I'm like, I'm about to present to you how I have enough. Can you sit down for five minutes and be quiet? This is my turn to talk. The adults are talking. You be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
your
turn.
Baby.
Unless you have a response to stop me, it's not your turn. It's mine. So I'm gonna present this loop to kill you specifically first. And then we may continue.
The word is priority, and I have it, so.
And I'm gonna hold it, so shh.
I don't need to cast
priority to have and to hold, baby, you know?
Yeah, to have and to hold, baby. That's so fun. You don't gotta cast silence to be silent, you know what I mean? Anyway. I've never witnessed this in person in my life, but I would have gone off somebody saying, did your boyfriend build you this deck? Did your boyfriend build you this deck? Off. Oh my God. That's infuriating. I'm gonna ask you, like, you said you've had this happen to you. Like, did it happen a lot? Is this something that you encountered a bunch?
I would say more than five, less than 10 times.
That's still way too many.
And mostly it's a place where I'm either by myself or playing like online, like on Spell Table. I've gotten that a lot when playing with randos.
Mm.
But the gag is currently I help my boyfriend brew his decks, not the other way around. Like, I'm like, but no one ever asked him, did your girlfriend brew that for you? Like, Your girlfriend, the content creator, does she brew that deck for you? Because they'll walk into work with the deck and be like, Sarah brewed me this new thing. Look at it. It's so stupid and silly. And I'm like, it's so good and so optimized. What do you mean it's stupid and silly?
He has to go in downplaying. It's social game. You got to respect that, I think.
That's so true. It's mental magic. Mental magic, baby.
Exactly. That's so f***ed up. Sorry, Ken.
Yeah. Sorry, Ken. Yeah.
My bad.
That's actually... I've told the story on a different podcast before on the Howling Salt Mine, but that's kind of like the catalyst to Girl Pod being a thing. Was I was in LGS and there was a guy there trying to pilot my deck, and he was super condescending the entire game. And I was getting really frustrated because I was still super new to Magic, and I was piloting my Urza, my bad Urza deck, Chief Artificer. And it was like out of the box pre-con, just sleeved it up, trying to play this game. And it was bad. Like I was overwhelmed with how many triggers there were. And anytime I would start like talking it out, like out loud, he'd be like, oh my God, like you just get a 1/1 counter on everything. It's not a big deal. It's because you have more artifact. And he would start just like rambling off about what was like, what was going on with it. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Thank you. And I was trying to be super nice. And then towards the end of it, I was swinging for lethal against someone else, I think. And he was like, I was in the process of declaring attackers. And he was like, you know, if you swing with everything, you can kill the entire table. And I'm like, I'm getting there. Can you give me a beat? And he was like, this is the problem with girls playing Magic and blah, blah, blah. And I was like,
oh, fuck right off.
He was like, this is the problem with girls playing Magic. I was not the bullis here. He was like, he was the bullis for sure. He was like, this is the problem with girls playing Magic. They're just too emotional. And now you're going to swing at me and kill me because you're too emotional. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, I am going to do that.
Oh, hell yeah.
Actually, yeah. I'm going to swing. So this is a 22-22. This is a 22-22. This is a 22-22 with double strike. F*** you. Sorry, Ken.
Yeah. also, not for nothing, guy. You just said if you swung at everybody, you could take out the whole table. And now your combat happens at once.
And now you're
how
mad.
Am I going to take you out first if I'm going to swing at the whole table? What do you think this is? Also, man. Real chip, man, misogyny's crazy, dude. That's
misogyny's crazy.
Yeah, that's
misogyny's
crazy. That's the title of this episode. Misogyny's crazy.
little cigar. Misogyny's crazy.
I mean, look, for real though, the real twist of that story was him being like, oh, that's the problem with women playing Magic. Is instead, man, like. Here, what you displayed was like also like new to Magic, which is a beautiful state to be in. You're new to this game. You're working on like my favorite thing about playing with new players. First of all, if a new player is joining your pod, you got to assess yourself to see if you're open to that. If that's not something that you can handle, because like it or not, playing against a newer player bears some responsibility.
Yeah. Right?
You have to be able to. Make sure that like you can ask them questions, take stock of how they're doing and, you know, offer to help, but don't overstep. You know what I mean? Like that's the way I like to approach it, which is just like if I'm sitting with someone new, it's like you mentioned that you're new to Magic. I want to tell you that if you're ever stuck or you have any questions about anything, you can feel free to ask me. And then I'll just like pretend I don't have that information or like just so you have a good time. That's like the best way to approach a thing when someone's new and like, but then. To just like unsolicited, like, man, just going into it and being like, oh, there's this and then there's this. You're going to have this. Why aren't you doing it yet? Like, I have to read all these cards that I'm just getting familiar with, dude. Like, what is this?
And it was one of those LGSs that like smell like a stereotypical Magic player LGS. It was smelled like BO and it was gross and the player pool was really small and. It wasn't great. It was the one closest to me. So I was like, I'll try it out and see if see how it is. And I was seeing someone at the time who was encouraging me to go. And he was like, yeah, go. Like, go have a good time. Like, go learn. Go like get some reps in with your deck. I'm like, OK, cool. Yeah. Sounds good. And so it was like my first time going to an LGS by myself. And I sat there alone for about 15, 20 minutes until these like sweet people were like, hey, we need a fourth. Do you want to play? And they were super nice to me. And that was great. And then. After they were done, they had their regular friend who plays in their pod come and they were like, oh, you don't have to leave. And I was like, oh, no, it's fine. Like, I don't want to get in like the way, you know, and I saw a pod open and I went and like, hey, I'm newer to Magic. Is that can I play with you guys? And that they were all like super nice and they were like, yeah, sure. And then this one guy, I don't know what his issue was, but he just was not happy. I was like, is it something Urza said? Was it something I said? Do I smell that? You sound like his shoulder pads? Because you're weird if you don't.
Jealous?
Look, Urza's a complicated character with He's a crazy sweet baby boy history. Ooh, you got to catch up on a lot of Urza lore. That guy is not a good man.
I'm an Urza defender.
I don't know. I would like to talk about that. Like, I think that history is written from the viewpoint of the victors, and I will go into that with my story. But I think that she's allowed to love Urza, okay? And I think that Urza can't be her sweet baby boy. And okay, I think that that's fine fair. And beautiful.
That's Someone has to protect my sweet baby boy.
And you're kind of being a bolus when you act that way.
Okay. Mom, yeah, bolus did nothing wrong either.
I'll go into that when we talk about my story. Because
bolus.
The biggest villain.
Cunty complimentary.
Yes, Bolus has been wronged in so many ways, and it's not his fault that he's smarter than all of y'all and benevolent. You want him to be a babysitter, but you have a benevolent leader, and I think that if you didn't have that benevolency, you wouldn't appreciate all of the sweeter things in life.
Mm-hmm. Damn. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Damn, I guess, and that's why we have the Locust God and the Scarab God and the Scorpion God to make sure that everybody's doing fine.
Yeah. Moral of the story, Urza did nothing wrong, Bolus did nothing wrong. They are severely misunderstood, and we can fix them.
We should try.
And that's that on that. I actually do have to catch up on Urza lore. That's like something that I've been learning this year is the lore of magic, which has been fun.
You know what? When I got back into magic, there was like a 6-hour YouTube video or something that I just found, and I was like, put it on. I'm doing chores. I can't go out anywhere because I'm sick. I'm going to put this on. And that helped so much. It was awesome. They went through everything. It was great. I wish more of that happened for like catching me up on the lore of this last like 10 years, though, because there was a one channel that Magic Arcanum, I think, did like set by set lore stuff.
That's sick.
Haven't caught up or kept up really, except for Duskmourn, which was beautiful. Duskmourn was so good, and I really loved the story for I'm blanking, but I digress.
It was so great. Yeah. It was my favorite, actually. I don't even have to say it. You already know.
Yeah. You know it. What am I even? I'm still talking. Sorry. Tarkir Dragonstorm was really good. That's the one. It was very good. I was disappointed not to get a Nur card, though. Nur was a cool character. Coming back to Sarah's story, because this is a pet peeve and a story. This is both.
Yeah, you did it.
I'm a two-for-one, baby. Double.
Yeah.
The BOGO, baby.
The BOGO, baby. BOGO champ, Sarah. Wee. I'll say, my God. So first of all, we have to give a verdict of whether or not you're the bolus for what you brought. I think we can go ahead and skip that or like fast forward and then come back here and just say, yeah, not the bolus for feeling like, how do I put this? Misogyny in magic is a bad thing. that's your statement on a pet peeve. I think we can get behind that one and say you're not the bolus. I think that's, I'm going to make the executive call here. And,
wow, you're going to exclude a woman's vote so that you can say.
I'm leaving the province.
Misogyny bad.
You're having me sweat. Oh, it's because why is the AC off? My girlfriend turned it off before she left. That's mean.
That's okay. You'll be catching strays in the comments as soon as this is going to be nice and cool.
I'm ruined after this. Literally, I'm leaving the province for 3 weeks and I won't have anything to record with, so I won't be able to get Morgan to do the bookends on either of the episodes we got, which is a bummer. But we're still having fun with it. I think I'm just okay. So back to the verdict. Then not the bolus. We could say that. I'll say you've mentioned that things have gotten better in the time that you've been playing, which is, you said 2 years. You're newer to Magic. It's gotten better. I will say that, like, when I started playing Magic as like a very young, like, it was very much like girls would be like, no, this sucks. You know, this is bad. And then over time, you're like, oh, I guess this is a guy thing. Like, girls aren't interested in this or whatever. And then the moment a woman just starts playing magic with you and you're playing magic, it's just like, great. welcome, new person.
Yeah.
I don't get how it's so hard to open up to somebody who's showing an interest in what you're up to. I don't get that.
I think stereotype plays a big part of how women felt about Magic and why they didn't want to play, because Magic the Gathering or Dungeons and Dragons used to be things that you heard and equated with these losers that live in their mom's basement with a big neck beard and they stink. Like, that was how people talked to me about Magic LGS players. Again. Don't shoot the messenger, baby. I don't know what to tell you.
To be fair, one time I had to pick up an order on our way back from a thing, and my girlfriend came with me, and she took one step in and said, "I'll meet you at the car."
But it's like the stereotype that they were just nerdy and gross and didn't like take care of themselves. And there are some people who are like that. I've met
totally
a lot of them, but I've also met a lot of really wonderful, lovely people who are not greasy and gross and smell wonderful, and they're so kind. And those are more the people. I don't know if it's like a vibe attracts your tribe type thing, or if it's just we are taking more steps as a community to call out bad behavior and to say, hey, this isn't cool, this is not okay, let's chill on that. Like, let's not make this joke or these comments. And I'm super grateful to men who check other men when stuff like that happens. And I'm super grateful to women who are just like, you know, there are some women who get really upset by it and they say things, and that's fine. They're allowed to. And there's also women who are like, nah, this is just the way they are. And I'm choosing my battle and I'm choosing not to fight this one. So whatever, I don't care. I just want to engage. And like, the fact that that needs to be a thing is A, frankly, ridiculous, but B, we live in this society where we're told men and women are so different, and we're like from two different planets, you know, and men are superior physically and mentally, and women are just emotional and incubators. And it's like, okay, I just want to play Magic. Thank you for that, though. Like,
I just want to play this game that we all have the mental capacity to take in. How about some of that then? Okay.
How about, can you read? You can play Magic. Congrats.
Yeah, exactly.
It's pretty easy, actually.
It's it's just so weird to me that it's like, oh, women are emotional. And I'm like, I cry the easiest out of anyone I know. And I will never find shame in that. Emotions are, I don't get like the idea of saying someone is emotional as like a negative. It's just a ridiculous.
You mean someone's
statement.
Emotionally mature and can handle how they feel?
Yeah. Has a means to express themselves in a, like, that's a huge deal.
Yeah.
Like I do think that it all comes down to, I guess, the things that are getting better must come down to like societally, there's a shift towards like checking each other on things. Definitely. I think that the Magic community's really gotten a lot better at that. And in fact, like you said, the, you know, vibe attracting, liking and all that stuff. It's just like, I completely agree. Cause like, if you don't vibe with somebody, you're not playing with them again. And when it comes to being content creators in this space, you want to be welcoming and kind and make everybody feel seen. And you can't do that when you're shoving people out of the way or the light. And if you are somehow in content creation and you're trying to make it seem like you're inclusive, but you're like, you're not, like, we can sniff that out too. You know what I mean? So it really comes down to like you said, the vibe has to be right and you're welcoming. You're good. You're a good person. And that's what attracts each other to the people. Like when we sat down in Chicago, like it was instant. It was just like, you guys are so fun and cool. I'm immediately looking at both of you like, I have no idea what I'm doing, and I'm going to be asking y'all questions. I am so excited to get to this game. We didn't start the game for a solid 10 minutes because we were talking so much. And there was that wait. I had to be like, oh my God, that wait list was so long. And I completely was just like, oh, whoops. Yeah, we should take a turn. One turn, maybe.
No. Lewis put us at the front to be loud and laugh so that we can attract more people to the event. That's actually exactly what happened. She was like, I'm going to put you guys in the front. I was like, dick, I love that.
Yeah. She was like, let's get some sirens and a foghorn out here. And I think that'll make
she was like, put a bullhorn in the girl pod's mouth while they laugh.
the Watsy gets a notice from the competitive side of the con being like, can we tell them to quiet down, please? Somebody's taking a turn where they're thinking too hard. That was the problem with Chicago 2 years ago. It's a deeper cut reference, listener. If you didn't know, they had game nights in like very close to where they had the pro tour happening.
Oh, yeah. Or the Grand Prix
or something. And so game nights was super loud because it was super packed. It's so popular.
Yeah.
And some pro tour player was like, hey, I was overstimulated and I couldn't play to the best of my abilities. Ooh. And like wrote this whole thing. And it's like, damn, it's a bummer. But also, it's no one's fault but planning, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah.
But that
makes sense.
Not happening again. I think they figured it out. They got the memo.
It was on a different level in Vegas, like a different level, completely cattywampus all the way across. They're like, we're never going to have this fucking happen again.
Exactly.
It was really difficult, circling back to the whole bolus thing.
Yeah.
It was difficult to come up with something because I feel like I'm not a person who has a lot of pet peeves, and I have not had many negative experiences in the Magic community, which has been wonderful. Mm. So it was like, oh, let's have a story about where you might be the bolus. And I'm like, I'm genuinely... I'm generally trying not to be an sorry Ken when I play Magic. I try to just have a good time, you know, and if someone's like stopping me out, I used to get really competitive, and I used to feel like I used to get really frustrated to the point where I would just go nonverbal because I don't like being mean, but it was more frustration that just like I, especially if I feel wrongly targeted, I would get super frustrated. And now it's like something I've actively worked on for the past year with like Sandwich and with our friends that we play with, of just like, okay, I need to not get frustrated. This is just a game. And whenever this is done, my negative feelings will go away. Like, it's just negative feelings because I'm losing and I'm hyper competitive and I don't like to lose. I like to win. And it's like, so I don't really have a lot of pet peeves, and most of my pet peeves are all, it's like my pet peeves in Magic are my pet peeves in the real world too. Like misogyny, always bad, never good.
Yeah.
Don't like.
Don't like. No. Hard pass on misogyny.
Thank you. Thanks, but no thanks. I think I won't take the hatred of women.
I'm actually stuffed. Thanks. I do have room for dessert, though. Thank you.
Thank you. So this one was hard. It was fun, but it was hard.
Yeah, I'm glad you came up with something. It is. It's like, it's very refreshing to hear you take that upon yourself and like to verbalize it as you did, which is to say, you know, I'm working on this. This is something I've identified in myself that I don't like, that I want to get better at. And I think that it's important to like, not for nothing, our hobbies aren't supposed to just be that hobby. Yes, it comes with a release or something, but there is an element of like, you are going to be taking in some lessons. If you're paying attention to yourself at all, you are working on yourself. There's a reason you keep doing it. It's because it feels good, or it makes you a better person, or it does. And that's kind of what I've enjoyed about doing this podcast, is that like when people come to me with a pet peeve or a story where they might have been the bolus or something, you know, it usually ends up coming to this point, like you brought up, which is like, I bring up this pet peeve knowing full well that it might be a little bit on me because I just don't like it, but I don't like it because of this. And I can articulate that because I've investigated myself. I figured out, like, I've looked inward and I've done that kind of work. And I think that that's the big lesson from here is like, also don't be a misogynist. Like, lesson number one, don't be a dick. But then also, take some time to look inward, like really assess yourself. And it's easier to do so when you have a lens that's applied to it, like through a game, you know? Like, you acknowledge, I'm very competitive, so I get upset about it if it's not going my way. And being able to be like, well, that's something I need to work on letting go. That's a perfect way to go about that. That's so nice. That's exactly what you want from it. I'm really happy for you that you were able to like identify that and are achieving it. That's
awesome. I learned it from Sandwich.
I was a really bad winner and a really bad loser, and I've actively used Magic to help me with that too. Like, we work together on it because it's like, it's
nice.
It's too fun of a game to get mad at it, and we play it way too often to get mad. But I was a terrible winner and a terrible loser growing up because I am also super competitive. And so that's one reason why I do like EDH or CEDH, because it gives me an outlet to play these cards and play with the intention of trying to win. Absolutely. But then also, if I misplay, then I get more mad at myself. So I'm trying to find the balance there too. But yeah,
There's definitely some times that we play some magic together at an LGS or with friends or whatever. And as soon as we're like in the car alone or back in our studio alone, like insert long string of expletives and beeps.
We're still healing.
Hey, I mean, you've ironed out your restraint to keeping it to yourself and making sure that it's not, you know, an immediate reaction or explosive reaction to somebody else's thing. You know,
that is true.
That's fair. That's a good way to do it. Well,
keep
yeah.
it to the Girl Pod brand. We're like, we're gonna be Girl Pod about this, but I'm mad.
Yeah, I'm mad, but it's Girl Pod. But I'm mad.
I'm mad, but I'm Girl Pod Sarah, and Girl Pod Sarah is a very happy person.
Well, I think that takes us to the end of episode one with Girl Pod. Teaser for next week. We're going to get Sandwich to do a pet peeve and a story, or both, or one or the other. Who knows? We don't know yet next week. But before we do that, it is the end of this episode. So I would like to invite both of you to please plug your socials, whatever you want people to check out, and let them know before we say goodnight for the day.
Yeah. So you can find us on all platforms at GirlPodMTG. We post daily synergies and card of the day and new upcoming sets on our Instagram. And Sandwich often posts those on Blue Sky as well, on top of some fun, interactive, engaging questions. If you just like to yap about magic, our Blue Sky is the place to do that. We do weekly content over on YouTube. September starts season 2 of Girl Pod gameplay, where we scooch over into the studio, have some of those games coming out, have some more higher quality videos coming out on top of some new series that's dropping soon, like Legendary Loot for our mail day videos, and hopefully some Brews and Brews, where we drink a brew drink and brew a deck together and rate the deck. Yeah.
Very fun.
Sandwich talk about where we're going to be in the human person realm.
In the human person realm, we are going to be at as many cons as we can. We hit 7 this year if we get PAX in under our belt. 7? So we want to up those numbers next year, but you can find us in Atlanta and then in Philly in November for PAX Unplugged. That is where we're going to be. And also, she said all of the platforms, and you might just be thinking social, but we are also on Spotify with our Not Brand Safe. And that's one of the funnest things we do.
Yeah, that's
not
true.
That's not magic related almost at all, but it's just a Yapcast and it's really fun.
It's where Girlpod gets to be Girlpod and we get to be a lot unfiltered, and we talk about things like my boyfriend railing me and then taking me to Taco Bell.
Yeah. Oh. And like emotions and too. Like, it's like really a look into us as humans, I feel. It shows more of a dynamic, like, faceted look at us, because we will just be yapping and go down all of the rabbit holes of our our days and our lives
and our childhood trauma.
Is this pod called Girl Pod as well, or is it what I didn't catch the name? What was it?
It's called Not Brand Safe.
Mm-hmm. Not Brand Safe. Okay, yeah. Good.
We don't have a Ken. We just fucking cuss. Sorry, Ken.
Yeah, sorry, Ken.
We went to Vegas and we start cussing.
Tell you what, I love swearing, but we started with the sorry Ken, and people like to come up to me and be like, oops, sorry Ken, and it's too fun to take away. And I realize it's a lot more work for Ken, which I'm sorry. Sorry, Ken, but not sorry, bleeping. Ken. Sorry, Ken. Sorry, Ken. But it is sorry, part Ken. Of the DNA of the show, and, you know, we love Ken, so we can't stop now. I don't think we should.
Anyway. No, you can't. You can't stop now.
You can't.
Oh, how dare you? How dare you?
Sorry, Kent.
All right, we're going to get out of here. We're going to be right back next week with another episode with Girl Pod. It's time to scoot the day. Bye-bye.
Bye.